Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hello and welcome to Fat Mascara. I'm Jess.
Hi everyone, I'm Jen. Welcome to the last week of the year.
Oh, thank God. Thank God we are here. Okay, this is a very different kind of episode. If you read the description, you may know we're doing a little bit of a throwback episode, but we are here recording this bit here at the end of 2020. Thank you for sticking with us. Yes, yes. We are at the tail end of December here. Jen is about to take off for a trip.
Oh my gosh.
I'll let her speak to that. Jen, you want to tell us what we're
doing? Oh my gosh. As you're listening to this, if all goes according to plan, I will be in Germany.
Wow.
Fingers crossed.
Yes, you have been hustling to get ready.
Yeah, I haven't really talked about this year, but I was like, you know what? Let me just be honest with the fam. I haven't seen my stepson in 361 days. This is Eric's son, who is six. He lives in Berlin with his mom. He grew up there, but like when I became part of Eric's life, like I would see him every 2 months, 3 months. He was part of our wedding. And then
he's very cute, by the way.
He's adorable. But because of the pandemic, you know, travel was shut down. I haven't seen him. We Zoom like twice a week, but like it's crazy. And he turned from 5 to 6. He started first grade. Like he's like a whole new boy. He cut off his hair. He used to have long hair. He just looks completely different. And so finally we went to the German consulate here in New York and they're like, you have a family exception. It's your son. You can go to Europe. But they said like there's still a chance that when we get to the border patrol in Europe, they're not going to let us in. So we got our COVID test yesterday. They're negative. We've got our N95 masks for the plane. We've got printed out like our family histories, his birth certificate, like everything. And so everybody wish me luck and hopefully I'll make it into Berlin, which will be exciting because when I get there, they are on a hard lockdown.
Yeah,
so
it's not even like once you get through, it's going to be easy.
I know.
Street. Yeah.
And so we'll be entertaining a six-year-old, hopefully from an Airbnb for 10 days. But it'll be so good to see him.
God bless. I really hope that everything goes as smoothly as it possibly can.
Family is important. And you know what? I am really excited that we have this guest because he is definitely one of those people who believes family is important. And he's been part of the Fat Mascara fam for quite a while. We interviewed Mario Dedivanovic, a.k.a. Makeup by Mario. I want to say 2 years ago, I will fact check that and put it on the blog.
Yeah, it was definitely when you and I, that really, you know, it was a really special time because it was when our desks were really close together. I remember that because I remember talking about the episode when we were like, there was this really nice moment where Jen and I were working on the same floor. It was like this really strange, weird time where like both of our desks were close together. And it was not strange and weird. It was really wonderful. I don't know why I said strange and weird. It was great. But there was a point in the company we were working with that like they had like all the beauty editors all on the same floor. And, but I remember like we would huddle and talk about the interview. And Mario is really a special person. We'll get to his line in a second, but I think he's a really special person because he's one of the biggest makeup artists in the world. And as Jen said, you know, family is very important to him. Roots are very important to him. And the beauty community is really important to him. And he's been a real like fan of the show. And just a supporter. I don't know if he's like a fan, but he's been a supporter of the show. And he came on the show. He gave us so much of his time, like a crazy amount of his time. And he came out with this line and he put his heart and soul into it. And you can feel it in the products because he didn't say, I'm going to make everything from mascara to a lip liner to a primer to a blah, blah, blah. It really is a reflection of his aesthetic and his work. And it's, you feel his whole like vibe, right? Through all the products. It's,
everything yeah, and is- you could tell he's worked on the floor at a cosmetics retailer with real people and also with celebrities. It just comes through in the products he
completely
made.
And I remember at the end of the interview, I remember being like, kind of like, was I just negged or is he just talking to me like a friend? He's like, I love how like real girls do their makeup, and he's like,
I forgot about this.
Yeah, I remember because I was like, oh my god, I think about it every time I do my liner. Sorry, Mario, if you're listening, but he was like, how yours is like a little messed up at the end, and I remember thinking like, I did my makeup pretty today for you. But his makeup can be used. It looks so pro and so shiny and sparkling, but you can use it like a real girl. And like I've been using with my fingers and it looks super intimidating, but I use it with my fingers and like he like will write me back and like it on Instagram. Like he knows that real people are using it. So anyway, I dig it so hard. So I hope you guys like this interview, and I hope that he comes across the way I felt when we were sitting across from him.
Yeah, and that's why we chose this one to replay for you guys. So we hope you enjoy it, and we'll see you on the other side for a fresh raise a wand. This is a good time to point out what's going on with our interview that's about to come up. As you know, it's Mario Dedivanovic. Yeah. Jess and I did an interview with him 3 or 4 weeks ago. If you remember, we had a week where we had quote unquote technical difficulties. Mm-hmm. We lost the first portion of the interview, which sucked because it was great. So we talked to him and he finally was back in town and I was able to go to his apartment to re-record the beginning, but Jess couldn't come with me because she was on vacation. So just so you know, as you're about to listen to the interview, there is a portion that's just he and I talking and then we pick back up in the studio, so it might sound a little janky. So, as I told you guys, we had some technical difficulties the first time we recorded with Mario, but I'm here. It's Jen. I'm here with Mario Dedivanovic. How'd I do?
Hey, perfect.
We're in your apartment. You're so nice to host me. We're having a slumber party. No, we're not at all. It's the middle of the day. But I wanted to go back and start our interview, the part that we missed, and talk a little bit about how you got your start as a makeup artist. So, I know we have something in common because we've worked the same place. But before we get into that, like, what was the first thing that got you into beauty?
I want to say it started early, although I didn't know that it started early. I was from the age that I could remember, really, I would say like 4 or 5. I only remember certain things in my childhood, not very much. But I do remember is always this feeling that I would get when I would see either like a beautiful model or I would see a beautiful home or I would see, you know, beautiful design, I would get this incredible feeling in my body. I didn't know what that was as a child. I knew as an adult that I was inspired. Mm-hmm. And so from a very young age, you know, we lived in the Bronx in, you know, a little apartment that I shared with all my family and, you know, super humble beginnings. My mother was a maintenance woman for L'Oreal. And then she would clean homes in addition, you know, for additional money. And my favorite thing to do as a child was to go with her to these homes. I would beg her, like if I had a half a day or if I had a day off or something from school, because the homes were beautiful.
Wait, you didn't want to go to L'Oreal corporate headquarters?
I wasn't allowed to go in. Okay. I wasn't allowed to go in. But my absolute favorite thing to do was to go to these homes with her, because I would literally, like, I would walk in and I just would never want to leave. I was so inspired by the design, the wallpapers, the art, you know, the plants, everything. My other favorite thing to do, this is so sad actually, because, like, you know, instead of playing games with everyone, it's like I would ask my dad to drive me to Westchester so I could see the lawns and the homes. So I was in anything that I saw that was beautiful, like physically had a reaction, like, yeah. You know, I was incredibly inspired. And then obviously when I started seeing magazines, my oldest sister Vicky, who was gorgeous, who still is gorgeous, she would get ready for school in the morning, and I never looked at her thinking like, oh, she's putting makeup on. I just looked at her like the process of the hair and the makeup. Yeah. And I was always fascinated by it. I always, like, kind of, again, it made me feel inspired.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't think twice about makeup. You know, my mom would bring home sometimes makeup from the L'Oreal building. Never looked at it. Never thought twice about it. And then I wanted to be a teacher. That's what I wanted to do my entire life. And when I walked into Sephora when I was 17, I was looking for a job in the city. I went to like—
Just like a retail job. And you didn't care if it was fashion or beauty?
I didn't care. I just wanted to get a job in the city. I was almost kind of rebelling because I had been working since I was 12 years old and giving my father my money every week, you know? It's like a cultural thing that we do. Mm-hmm. And I thought that he was saving up the money for my college, but he didn't. So when it was time to go to college, I told him, okay, I want to go to Miami. I want to go to here. I want to go to there. And he's like, basically, it was like a joke. He's like, are you kidding me? With what? And I'm like, with the money I've been giving you for the past several years. And he's like, well, no, that money's gone. We paid bills with that money. And so then I wanted to rebel, and I was like, well, guess what? I'm not going to college. And literally the next day I went, I was like, mom, take me to the city and I want to go find a job. I mean, how sheltered was I that at 17 I had to ask my mom to take me to the city? But anyway, we went, and then I walked into a Sephora, and I literally, like, it was like an epiphany. I was just like, oh my God, I was surrounded. It was so beautiful, and it was three floors, and they all had these black, I think, I want to say YSL designed the suits at that time.
This is like what, like 2000?
2000. I'd have to check.
That's when I worked there too. That's so funny. Yeah. This was the one on Fifth Avenue?
It was on Rockefeller Center.
It was the flagship. And it had the big, like, perfume organ thing.
Oh, it was
And the
gorgeous.
Shower gels all rainbow.
Yes, 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 yes. Oh my God, the shower gels. Remember? They don't make those anymore.
Yeah, no, they don't
wow,
do those.
Wow, I just thought, and the lipsticks.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, so I walked in there, and it was like a sliding, revolving door. And my mother, she just literally, like, pulled my hand, trying to take me outside the other. She's like, no, this is not for you. This is not for you. This is not a store for you. And I'm like, stop, leave me alone. I'm like, I want to go. And I went, and I asked for the job. I just remember walking around and seeing everyone with the gloves, and I was like, oh my God, I want to work here. So I
didn't. For people that don't know, they used to wear those black gloves to, like, display, like, theater.
But it was only
products.
One. So it was like, it was just so fancy. I don't know. And then, you know, but from a kid from the Bronx, I was like, you know, I didn't go to the city that often. And then they never called me back. And I think some of the other places did, like Armani or something, but I didn't take those jobs because I was, like, dead set on Sephora.
You were holding out.
Oh, yeah. So there was a woman named Marie Christine. Don't ask me how I got her number. I want to say I went to the library and researched the corporate offices of Sephora in France.
Yeah.
I got in touch with this woman named Marie Christine. She was the head of all Sephoras. And she said she was coming to New York the next week or the next 2 weeks. And I went into the New York offices. I met with her.
Like in the corporate offices?
Yeah, in New York.
On 58th Street?
I don't remember. But yeah, it was probably like, yeah, it was
What if you were like... My cubicle was in there. What if, like...
Maybe we crossed paths.
I got to go look back at my pictures from work.
Do you know who that is, Marie Christine?
Yeah. She was, like, when the French were coming to town.
Yes, she was blonde.
Like,
yeah,
we all had to be wearing all black and
she was
everything.
A big deal, like, in the stores, you know? And she basically interviewed me, and I told her, you know, I worked at the Bronx Zoo, and I worked at... I was a pretzel boy at the Bronx Zoo, and then I became a manager, and I was a busboy at Mario's restaurant, and I, you know, packed bags at 12 and 13 and 14 at this place. And no experience, basically, for retail. But I said to her, I said, but I love cologne. I was like, I collect cologne, and I get cologne for Christmas every year.
Uh-huh.
And I thought I looked so cute. I had, like, this black button-down shirt on, and I unbuttoned the buttons. It was like a little Guido with my hair slicked back.
Yeah.
She basically, I remember her kind of, like, just looking at me, like, kind of in a cutesy way. Like, she kind of almost laughed and was like, okay. She's like, I'm going to put you in the new store that's opening up on 19th and 5th. So... It happened.
The one with, like, the balconies around it or whatever.
19th and 5th. There's only one. It's been there since 2000.
Wait, do you remember what cologne you were wearing to the interview?
Probably Dracar Noir.
It's a classic. Yeah. I still like it when I smell it.
It's I do too. It's what's the word? It's nostalgic. It reminds me of like of childhood.
So you didn't get a job as a makeup artist. You got a job as a fragrance salesman?
No, I didn't even know what a makeup artist was at that time.
You know? Okay,
I didn't even know being a makeup artist was a thing or like what it was. Nothing. I just had no idea about makeup. So I got a job as a fragrance consultant, aka they put me by the door to say welcome to Sephora to every single person that came in, and I used to get so frustrated because I'm like, I want to go and like work with people, you know?
Yeah.
And so people, women would come up to me because I was near the gondola, lipstick gondola, I remember. Mm-hmm. And they would come up to me and ask me for help. And this woman came in the first day of work and said, can you help me choose which color? And I was like, okay. And I just went and I like helped her and I fell
Fake
in love.
Fake it till you make it.
I get emotional always like thinking about that. And I know that exact spot where I was always. And I always go to see it when I'm there. And it was like, that was when I had the epiphany that I was like, I started touching the makeup and the lipsticks and I was like, this is it. Like, I want to do this. This is what I'm going
to
do.
Do you remember what brand you steered her to?
It was the Sephora, like they had like hundreds of them, colors, like greens, blues, oranges, yellows. And it was the Sephora gondola and I just helped her pick a color. And then from there, I became obsessed. I started, you know, sneaking out of the fragrance department and became friends with all the makeup artists, became friends with the manager who was the manager of the beauty department of color, we used to call it. And, you know, they would start giving me gratis, brushes and gratis. And then I had a little shoebox at home, a little Nike shoebox, and I'd start collecting all my gratis, hiding it from my family, of course, because, you know, God forbid they found out that I was going to be a makeup artist.
Did they still think you were going to go be a teacher once you saved up money for college?
Yeah, I mean, listen, so my parents came here in the 70s, you know, obviously from nothing, from the mountains in Montenegro. You know, we're Albanian from Montenegro. And they came here for a better life. My mom especially, like, sacrificed so much and so hard, like, for us, you know what I mean? And so my whole life, it's those moments that I remember of, like, my mom struggling. And so, yeah, she wanted to come here and to make sure that her kids had a chance and an opportunity to go to college and to become successful, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think she thought a teacher or anything like that. She just thought school, business. Going to do something. He's not going to suffer the way I did.
Yeah.
And so I knew that, but I also knew that I wanted to become a makeup artist.
Yeah.
And I knew that that was what I had to do. And it was me thinking, like, everything from my childhood, like, all those moments of, like, me remembering, like, my mom's struggles and stuff,
mm-hmm.
Always stuck with me in everything that I did and every decision that I made in my early years, especially in my career. For example, like, I remember going to work with her one day on the bus, and she was literally, like, I think had 100-something fever. And instead of taking the train, she took the bus, which was, I think, a little bit more easy. But she never did that because it was $2.50 more.
Yeah.
So that was, like, a luxury to her.
Yeah.
And me and her were taking it, and I just specifically remember, like, she was thirsty, like, dying of thirst. I mean, she was sick, and, like, she wouldn't buy a bottle of water because she wanted to save the dollar for because she saved for us. So, like, it's those moments that I think of always and that I always thought of, especially in my early years, that, like, I can't have that life, and I have to, like, not only have a better life for myself, but, like, to give my mom a better life.
Yeah. It's what drives you, it seems.
Yeah. So so that was basically, like, you know, that was a struggle. So it was that, and then it was sort of like telling my family that I'm going to be a makeup artist, and then having to deal with like the rejection and the shame, you know, because they were embarrassed. They didn't want to tell anyone. They didn't want to tell the Albanian community that their son is doing makeup. You know, to my mom, that meant, like, she doesn't know. That meant, like, I'd be maybe spraying perfume on people's wrists for the rest of my life. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but she just thought, like, she came here for something more than that. And so I had to prove to them. And I had to.
Yeah.
It was the driving force that really just was everything to me in my life, and especially in my early years, and even to this day.
They must be proud of you now, first of all.
I'm sure
they are. But you started out in retail, and a lot of people, I think, know you because they think of you as, like, Makeup by Mario, and they think about your Instagram, but they think about seeing you with Kim Kardashian and all the celebrities that you do. But you really got your start in the editorial world, right?
Yes. Yeah, so after retail, I went out and started researching heavily, you know, doing the right thing, really finding out everything about the industry that I needed to know, finding out who the big wigs were, the photographers, researching, studying, all that stuff. And then I started testing with photographers, like, immediately, any chance I could get, building my portfolio. And then I started meeting other makeup artists, assisting other makeup artists. And, you know, until I started working with the fashion, you know, the fashion big wigs, you know, the fashion makeup artists. And yeah, that was where I learned so much. Not necessarily, you know, the work that I do with celebrities, but just it really groomed me and trained me, you know, in terms of product and set etiquette and, mm-hmm. you know, being on set with the photographers like Stephen Klein every day and, you know, with the makeup artist Kabuki, and we were doing massive campaigns every day. I mean, you know, someone who's like 20, me like 19 or 20, 21 years old, to be doing those kinds of jobs every day was...
You were assisting at that point,
assisting,
right?
Yeah. Okay. And most of the time for free. You know, I got paid sometimes, but it was most of the time for free. And, you know, always kind of keeping a job on the side as well, just for income, whether it was retail or freelancing for a brand or whatever it was. But yeah, I come from, you know, years of that, of that industry. And it was, it was sort of after that, I had begun towards the end of like my assisting years, I had begun, you know, definitely working a lot more on my own, starting to do some socialites in New York and starting to do some celebrity clients. And it was, I also made a decision at that time that I did not want to be a fashion makeup artist, meaning I didn't want to do just campaigns and editorials every day.
Why is that?
Why? Because I'm very realistic. That's number one. I'm also, I watch a lot, you know, even growing up, I didn't speak much. I watched everything and I listened. And I kind of see my, I'm very aware of my surroundings. And at a young age, being an assistant on these sets, I just saw what it was like. And I saw that it was always the same teams of people for years, you know? And
it was like a mafia, the same six names of makeup artists.
And what's crazy is that 20 years later or 19 years later today, it's still the same six or seven people.
Yeah.
And so I knew, and I made a very conscious decision at that time. I'm like, I want to be successful. Like, I want a level of success that I want, that I have in my, that I'm having in my mind, you know, for my mom, for myself. Like, I want a level of success that, you know, that I don't think I'll ever be able to achieve. So I was just being realistic.
You're being practical.
Yeah. I don't think I'll ever be able to achieve this type of success that I want.
And you're not talking money. You're just talking like, I will be the best in this world.
Yeah, like not even the best in this world, because I, oh, by far, I don't think I'm the best
in the world. No, in the world of like editorial versus
just,
the world of...
Yeah, like I just wanted to be successful, you know?
Yeah.
And I just felt that I didn't have a chance in that world, you know? Yeah. And I was being realistic. And also I enjoyed more of the celebrity jobs, you know, doing the glam. And also, like, to be quite honest, I would much rather do a do and go with a celebrity than be on set for 18 hours.
Wait, what was the word you just said? A do and glow?
A do and go. You don't know that?
A do and go?
Oh, yeah, that's what we call, like...
I know step and repeat. I don't know do and go.
No, step and repeat is like a red carpet. No, do and go means when you go to a celebrity's house or hotel, you do them and go.
I've never heard that, and I've interviewed tons of makeup.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, maybe that's just like you guys say that.
That's like the
you're
industry.
A do and
that's
go.
The industry's standard. So there's
now
a,
I sound
there's
naive.
Like, oh yeah, there's a do and go, and then there's like a full day, like a full day rate, a full day, and then there's a do and go.
I see. Okay.
So I love a do and go, by the way. I'm the king of do and goes. I love like. Shit,
I want to use this in my regular life. I'm just going to do and go. This is a podcast right now. I'm in your apartment. Do and go.
Like, you know how some like makeup artists, they'll do several clients a day, like for a red carpet.
Yes.
So those are all do and goes because they're not with them all day, you know?
Okay. I totally get it.
Do
it
and
makes
go.
Sense.
So anyway, I would much rather do, and I much prefer doing do and goes or magazine covers and, you know, than doing an editorial with like eight models for 18 hours and making no money.
But what if you do, they go, and then you see the photos later and you're like, she messed up the lipstick or something like that. Or you know how to set the makeup so it's going to look good.
You said
you
it.
Know
or you hope
doing.
That, you know, you hope that they're, you know, smart enough to not mess it up. But usually my clients are really good with that.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Thank you.
Listen, there are so many skincare products on the market claiming to help reduce fine lines and wrinkles, and you know I will try most of them. But how do you know your products are actually working? Some research to back up the claims. That's why Jess and I are all about Ritual. They created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted a clinical study to take the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual's Hyacera is now a part of my skincare routine, and I got in the habit of taking it every day by putting the cute little purple jar right next to my sunscreen. It looks nice on my vanity, and let's be honest, I love that. But once I stuck with the habit, I really noticed a difference in my skin. I am not the only one. In a clinical study, taking Hyacera for 90 days led to a 3.6-time reduction in crow's feet wrinkles as compared to placebo. And it led to a 2.9 increase in skin smoothness. I also like that they're easy to swallow. The capsules sort of taste like vanilla. They're not all weird and fishy like some other supplements. Plus, Ritual is a certified B Corp, something we learned about on a recent episode. And all their supplements, including the Daily Protein and their Sleep Bio Series Melatonin supplement, are vegan, gluten-free, and made traceable. Do what Jess and I did. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/mascara. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/mascara for 25% off. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
About the actual makeup. Now, when I think of, you know, Instagram, I think of a lot of, you know, things like contouring and baking and overlining. And I also think that a lot of those can be traced back to really the kind of work you did with Kim, you know, at the start. But you've always been really honest about the fact that you didn't, you know, quote unquote, invent any of those techniques. And, you know, we spoke a few years ago and you were really quick, and I really liked this, that you were really quick to pay homage to people like Kevin Aucoin or like Away Bandy. Can you speak to that a little bit? Because I think a lot of people don't get to hear that from you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, nothing is invented or created new. Everything, you know, has been happening, was already existing, techniques and stuff like that. These are things that are so old. Like, this is how the celebrity makeup artist and makeup artists did makeup in the 70s and 80s, you know? The difference is that no one knew. The masses didn't know about these tricks of the trade. You'd look in the, they would look on red carpets, magazine covers, or they'd see someone on stage or at the Emmys or Grammys, and they look so flawless, but no one knew how to achieve that. Mm-hmm. And the difference is that now everyone knows how to achieve it, you know? It's a certain sort of application that was never mainstream. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing that makeup early in my career because I started assisting people and I learned all those tricks of the trade. And so, you know, it just so happened that the mix of like Kim and myself together, she happened to be a celebrity who just naturally just like started sharing it all and showing pictures and videos on her blog, and like no one had ever done that before. She started getting really busy, like where it was like a constant, she had a constant demand or need for makeup, you know what I mean? And so then she would start booking me for all her important stuff and press tours, and like she was always doing something. It's crazy. Like, she's a hard worker. In those early years, I mean, I would go to LA and stay for like 3 months at a time, like in a hotel, because she had work every single day.
Wow.
You know, traditional celebs, they'll promote an album or a movie or something. But like with her, it was literally just 365 days a year.
Wow.
Right.
Social media
lets you show the pieces that go into the makeup. But it also sort of brings people like you to the forefront. Other than Kevin Aucoin, like you didn't always know makeup artists' names back in the day, like a regular person.
Yeah.
And even though you now have made a name for yourself, you kind of strike us as someone who doesn't really want the limelight. So if So what drives you? Do you want to be famous? Do you want to be known? Or is there something else driving you?
That's really interesting. I always kind of like think about this. I don't want to be famous. No. Like I always say, like, jokingly with my friends and stuff, like, I don't wish like a huge level of fame upon anyone. It's like, it's, I don't want that life. Like, it's not me at my core. I look at it like this way. So like, because I struggle with it, I'm given opportunities, right? And a lot of those opportunities require me going to events and doing meet and greets and taking photos or doing a red carpet, you know, brand events and all types of things. These are all opportunities that I'm given as a makeup artist. I have two options. I cannot take the opportunity and sit home and just, you know, not be as successful. or I can suck it up and do it, even though I don't like getting dressed and I hate having to fix my hair and put bronzer on and all this stuff, like being in front of the camera, because I'm self-conscious. I'm insecure like a lot of other people.
Really?
You know? Yeah. And so
he needs a podcast.
You know, so the other option is you suck it up and you sacrifice and you do it because it, you know, the rewards are greater. I always think, like, are the rewards greater than the sacrifice, you know, that it takes to get, you know, to the reward? And it, you know, usually they are. If not, then I wouldn't. But
what do you ever get self-conscious about? I feel like you're, like, you know, one of the biggest makeup artists in the world. You have like a really cool life. At least it seems that way. Like,
are you kidding me? What do you self-conscious about?
Yeah,
so like, many things.
You're, I mean, cute. Just like,
thank you. just like really crazy. I mean, just, I don't like my left side photographs. I get self-conscious about my nose or that my face is round or, you know, social media, I think, adds to all that because, you know, back in the day when I used to go to work, there was never a camera there. Like, I could go in sweatpants and a hat and look like shit and it didn't matter. But now it's like almost every single job that I do requires me to be on camera somehow. Mm. They have behind the scenes cameras that they want. You know, I do so many brand contracts, so many brand partnerships and contracts. And then I have the masterclass. It's like everything. Sometimes it's like 3 days a week where I have to buy a new outfit and I have to buy a new jacket and I have to buy, you know, fix my hair and get a haircut. It's like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Like that part, like, I don't care for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I could have the success that I always wanted my whole life, without any of that, I would definitely take that.
It does sound very stressful. A lot to think about at once. You mentioned the masterclass. That's, you know, didn't you trademark masterclass or something? Like, isn't that your thing?
I'm not sure. Well, I trademarked the masterclass.
Oh, the masterclass.
But
yeah.
I'm not sure if I was actually able to, because
okay.
The masterclass is too broad of a term.
But it's your thing. When I think of the masterclass, it's Mario. It's not, you know.
Yeah.
So when you do these classes, yeah. What are the questions you get most often still? Or not still,
you know,
in
it's
general.
Not like 95 or nine, probably more than 95% of my students, which a lot of people don't know, are makeup artists of different levels and also aspiring makeup artists. So these are people that really want to learn makeup. In fact, like, sometimes if I'll have a celebrity guest, like, a lot of people get annoyed because they're like, we don't care. You know, we want to learn the makeup. Like, don't, you know, we don't care about anything else, you know?
That's none cool. of the chit chat. Let's get down to
yes,
the technical.
Yes. And that's what I prefer too. Because I know that they're there to learn for a reason. And that's why the whole masterclass started. You know, it wasn't about money, because back then I didn't make money from it. I lost money from it. It's, you know, this thing happened with Kim where we did a tutorial on YouTube and it went on YouTube. And then all of a sudden, like, I remember walking out of the train and I was bombarded with messages and emails from people around the world asking me makeup questions. And then I was like, holy shit, like, these people, if they don't live in New York or LA or London or Paris, like, they'll never know, like, the tricks of the trade. And so that's when I decided, like, oh my God, I'm going to have a class where I'm going to have them come and I'll teach them all the tricks of the trade. Like, just the way, like, they saw a taste of it on YouTube with the Kim video. And that's how the masterclass was born. You know, it wasn't out of money. You know, a lot of the masterclasses nowadays, you know, people do them because they see the success and they want the money.
Yeah, it's like an event almost, not an actual learning experience.
So, you know, was the reason for it. So all the questions I get, to answer your question, are career stuff. They want to know, you know, aside from all the techniques, because I always say, like, I'm not the most talented makeup artist by far, you know. But there's a way to approach makeup, and especially more so now that we're so inundated with, you know, techniques on YouTube and social media, people are just seeing over and over the same thing. It gets embedded into their brain. So when they come to the masterclass, they learn how to actually approach a face. Put all that stuff aside. Put all the trends aside. Put all social media aside.
Like the stripes down both sides of your nose.
Yes, all that stuff aside. They learn how to approach a face. Like, you know, how to think about the makeup they're about to do. How to not do the same exact makeup on every person.
Okay, that's a good
Oh, God.
How to not, you know, you know, how to not mess up someone's face, you know, because you can do a disservice to someone's face if you're just doing the same thing that everyone else does on social media, for example. Mm-hmm. They learn so much. Like, it's honestly, for most of them, like, just according to what they tell me after what they write, it's mind-blowing for them. Like, they don't know, they didn't realize all of this stuff, you know, how to approach makeup and when not to do something and how to build softly. Like, people think that, you know, makeup it can be intense. There's a lot that goes into it. And it's really important, I feel like, to know and teach, especially artists or aspiring artists, when to hold back, when not to do certain things, you know, how to approach.
It's almost more important than when to do them, right? Yeah,
absolutely. Well, about contour, that's my thing. I always tell them because, of course, everyone thinks like, oh, you know, quote unquote contour king. And they think I'm going to do some insane contour. And it's always just extremely natural. And like, they're like, well, what do you mean? Like, we thought you were going to, like...
I came for the contour.
Right. You know, well, I mean, that's not why they come. But, you know, but I always tell them when I'm teaching contour, I say it's more important to know when not to contour than it is to know how to contour.
Like, if someone has a super skinny nose, but then they just automatically start contouring.
Right.
Like,
because they think that, you know, because they know how to do it, then everyone needs it.
Yeah, well,
no, I don't always contour at work. You know, I have certain clients that are super glam that love that stuff and I give it to them. But then I have other clients where when I do editorials, I don't even.
Like, does Christy Turlington need contour? Probably not, you know?
Well, she won't. Not Christy Turlington.
I was thinking of something with a very angular face. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like someone like
Kate Bosworth, like I work with, I don't contour her. Like, I don't go anywhere near her with contour.
Okay,
When I do editorials, like, never contour, really. Never, you know?
Interesting.
Mm-mm. That's interesting, yeah, really. Okay, another thing you put up, besides the makeup, you have put up a lot of great Instagram content that isn't just all your looks. Something you put up, I mean, this is a couple of years ago now. You put up your portfolio. It was like a real physical portfolio, like a hardback portfolio. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you don't even know it.
I remember that.
I'm talking to our listeners. For those who don't know what like a real portfolio book is, when I say back in the day, I mean like up until maybe 5 years ago, people would have...
Remember we used to get those neoprene sleeves? There would be like hundreds of them around the office.
Yes,
hundreds.
I forgot
And the
about
poor
that.
Messengers, they would come onto the floor, you know, and they would drop off the books and the photographers, the makeup artists, the hairstylists. Even Jen and I, I'm speaking for you. I still have in my bedroom my book of my editorial clips.
Yep.
Now everything, especially for visual people like yourself, is online, it's on social media. So you did this great post about how your agent or something said like your book is, you know, they don't need your book anymore. It's really about your Instagram.
Yeah, it's basically irrelevant. We don't need portfolios anymore.
So what kind of feedback did you get from that post?
I don't remember. I got a lot of feedback for sure.
Because I thought it was really a watershed moment.
Yeah, I think it was mostly positive. You know, see, I'm not the type, like, I never do stuff. Like, it was a bit controversial. I never do stuff like that, but I just really felt strongly about it because of what had just happened with the, you know, having the portfolio returned to me like a day or two before. And then just like really, and that was around the time too when I really started thinking about social media and this shit is all changing that we're like, this field that we're in. And that was when I made like a really serious decision to take, you know, to really focus on that and to think ahead and to become part of it and not like, you know, a hater of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like to join in with it if I want to move forward and succeed.
Were you ever a hater?
No.
He's an early adopter.
No, I'm not a hater. Like people always, you know, it's funny because a lot of like celebrity makeup artists or my peers or, you know, people who've started 15 plus years ago, like myself, mm-hmm. you know, they can get upset sometimes and they can get really vocal about, you know, influencers. Like I love influencers. I fucking watch YouTube myself. Like, mm-hmm. why would you hate on them? You know, like they have a different style than you, fine, but who cares? You have a different style too. Like maybe they don't like your style, but you know, are they calling it out? Like this makeup sucks because it's so natural. Like who cares? It's like everyone has their own style. What is there to hate? You know what I mean? If maybe it has to do with like the amount of success someone has that they're not able to achieve for some reason. But you know, I just feel like these young kids or these influencers, if they have the ability to become successful, like what I was saying earlier, like, are you supposed to just sit in your room and be like, no, I'm not going to take these opportunities. No, I don't want that contract. No, don't give me that money because I just want to be the same as I always was. You know, like you take the opportunities, like who cares how old you are? You know, that's how I feel about that.
Now, we were also talking before we got on the air about editors, like, you know, you're in an interesting position because you're not like this new kid on the block where, you know, you've only worked with like, you know, digital media and influencers. Yeah. You are like, to me, kind of like,
don't be offended when I say this, but kind of old school. Like, you know, you know.
Oh, I know. Trust me. I'm old school. Like, I feel old.
No, but like you're talking about, you know, where you learned, you know, your skills from. You put in the homework. You read the books. You assisted. I mean, old school in that way. Like, you're not looking for, like, I'm going to make a YouTube video. Like, hold this camera. Like, why aren't I famous yet? Like,
yeah.
You have that same kind of mindset. But when it comes to editors, like, what is your take on that? I felt like you were a little bit kind of like a little bit of a question mark there.
Okay. So here, can I be honest with you guys?
Wait, yes.
Is every editor going to hate me though? Like, I don't want to have, because
no,
I do so much.
I think,
stuff.
No, it's like a nuanced conversation. I'm not asking you to be like yay or nay.
Okay. Here's the deal with my, because no, I do
love
editors.
You're talking to two editors. Like, no. You know, I'm asking you to
I definitely don't hate editors. I was just teasing you, but yeah. here's, I think it's like it comes naturally, like this frustration maybe from the early days of, I used to work so hard and I put in all the work, and no, people didn't really know that. And it's because I became very popular, like when I started doing Kim and after I started doing Kim. Now, mm-hmm. Before that, like, you know, I was an assistant. I was on the set with Stephen Klein and with the biggest makeup artists, yeah. and fashion campaigns. And, you know, like, I come from that world. You know
but
what
I think
mean?
A lot of people don't know that. That's
right.
The
so
thing.
They didn't know that. And so I feel like I got put into this kind of bubble. I remember when I started doing Kim, because she went through it obviously as well. You guys know how it mm-hmm. was in the earlier days. It's like reality stars were looked down
upon. I've been in magazines where it's like, we're not putting those people in the magazine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, so like I was in that, you know, I was in that firsthand. And so I feel like I would struggle, you know, and my agents would too in the earlier days, like, you know, of just feeling like, there was like feeling like editors in that world were so elitist again and kind of against me. You know what I mean? Because I was doing Kim, you know, because that was my choice to do Kim. And because, you know, I did things a certain way, different from the way everyone else was doing them. And so I feel like I always felt like this weird, just this weird vibe, like that they were elitist and they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't accept me, or they wouldn't, you know, put me in their magazine because I'm, you know, I'm Makeup MRI, I'm Kim's makeup artist. You know what I mean? So in the early years, before social media really became a thing, there was that whole thing that yeah. I struggled with. Because like when you know that, you know, or even like in the earlier days with Kim, like when she started getting covers, like photographers and editors, they would never want to use me because then they would think, oh, no, because he's going to do really heavy makeup on Kim.
Right.
I've heard that from hairstylists too with regular clients. And the client gets booked, but they won't book the hairstylist.
Right. Right. They want their own team. They don't want the
right.
they
which,
don't want
which
the
is natural.
Team.
I mean, they still do want that, but I think it's like people knowing that, like, you know, people just didn't know that I'm able to do other stuff. And so like there was that whole thing. And then when the whole contour thing happened, like I used to literally like fight with my agency all the time and with the PR who was in the agency, because I would try to make people not call me that. I would fight it. And I would resist against it because mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I don't want to be known as the contour king. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
That's not what I'm about, you know? And then it got to a point where I was like, you know, it's not until I accepted it that mm-hmm. I started really like moving forward and good things started coming from it. You know, I started yeah. getting great opportunities and great jobs from it. And, you know, so I'm like, yeah, you want to call me the concert king now? You know, go ahead.
Knock yourself you know? Out.
So that's where my frustration. Now I'm totally fine with the editors and stuff. You know.
Cool. We're friends now?
Yes.
Okay.
PR and stuff, like that's like a part, you know, it goes with, I guess, that fame thing. Like, you know, I don't love doing interviews. You know, it's one of those things where like, oh my God, it's like the extra part of your job where you have to answer the questions and you have to, you know, it's always required of me because of all the brand contracts. It's just one of those things, part of the jobs that are not my favorite.
Yeah.
And so you have
to say no too, you know?
Well,
I think contractually you can't.
Well, a lot of things are contractual.
Okay. You know what I mean.
I love it, of course, when it's like something that I like, but like, you know, like the makeup questions, it's like, oh, so boring. And I know you guys are going to probably ask me makeup questions. That's totally
yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
But like, you know, how do you do this and how do you do that? It's like, oh, come to my masterclass.
Well, that's kind of when we started the podcast. We were like, we wanted to ask the deeper questions that aren't maybe going to make it into the pages of magazines.
Which I love. I love that.
That's
you know,
more fun.
It's
and
more
interesting.
Fun. Yeah,
like they want to get to know
now,
you.
How do I do that?
No, but like, that's why I brought up thing about like Timothy, because it's like I feel like you people.
Oh,
like,
Timothy from Nordstrom.
Yeah,
we're back
Timothy,
on him.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
No, but it's like there's a thing about like the artist. Like people get so hooked on like makeup, but it's not just like, I'm so obsessed with this compact, like not just makeup beauty. Like they want to know the people. They want to know, like,
yeah.
They want that closeness.
When you're a true fan.
Yeah. There's a fandom. I mean, that's why Moj started BeautyCon. Like it's a fandom. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's really cool what you have going on.
Thank you.
I was going to ask you just because we talked about this a little bit, but you do get pigeonholed is almost the word I was thinking
yeah.
of when you were saying that. Like people thought of you a certain way. You talked about a few things you'd want people to know. Is there anything else that hasn't really like come to the forefront about you? They're like, why don't people know that I, you know, worked with, who did you mention? Stephen Klein or whoever, like,
Yeah.
Well, now we know you worked at the Bronx Zoo too, so that's good.
Now I think as I get older, like I can honestly care less. It's not like I don't care. I feel like I don't have anything to prove anymore. You know, I don't care anymore. And I feel like once you stop caring about that stuff, and it was probably silly of me to care anyway in the beginning, but it's, you know, because I wanted to be successful and I wanted to be respected. And so I feel like in the earlier days, you know, I felt like maybe I wouldn't be able to achieve my goals because people think something of me, you know? Mm-hmm. And so now nothing bothers, it doesn't bother me. Like, I mean, I say, even today I got asked, requested to do like a cover, a certain Vogue cover from another country, like from one of like these photographer team that's like one of the best in the world. And I'm like, literally told my agent, I'm like, no, this is not possible. Like they would never request me. This
you
is
still
fucking,
don't think you're at that point.
Literally, she's like, Mario, like relax. They actually requested you twice before. Like, I'm like, there's no fucking way they requested
were
me.
You
like,
were you
they
excited?
Hate me.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I can't do it because I have other things going on like in Sydney and blah, blah, blah. But you know, it's like, I don't
so
care
you
anymore.
Still get excited, huh?
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of our listeners will not have the opportunity to attend the masterclass just for, you know, geography or whatnot.
You never know. What if I do like a free one?
Well, what if they're based in like Milwaukee?
What if I do a YouTube video?
Oh.
You know, you guys know I don't have a YouTube, right? I don't like.
I know
I
you don't have a YouTube.
You appear on others.
Yeah.
Well, no, just Kim, really.
But don't you have to pay for Kim's?
I
you
don't
do have to break
not
through
on
her, like
not on the YouTube channel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I don't. I've never actually done a full makeup on YouTube. Like, there, you can't be found.
So what's that about? Why?
Because I need to teach it in person. It takes 4 hours. Like, how can I? I have to break it down to them, and it's an energy that I feel like I have. I know when they don't understand something, and they're shooting.
You need to see their faces responding.
It's a feeling. Like, I just know, and so I have to like truly explain it. Like, it's not just like, oh, put this eyeliner on and start thin and go thicker there. It's like, why are you putting this eyeliner on this shape? If she has this shape, it's going to be this kind of eyeliner. How do you make this eyeliner last throughout the whole day? How do you build it? How you can go from a softer gray to brown or add black for this reason? It's going to make this certain line. There's so much goes to it. You can never, ever, ever learn that on YouTube. It will. It's not possible. That being said, I would like to maybe start a YouTube one day.
You have to. Oh, my God. I mean, there'd be addicts.
I'm really scared. I keep thinking about it. And obviously, my followers ask me. But I'm just like, the drama that goes on in that world, like, I don't want to be...
Turn the comments off.
Turn comments off.
Right? Yeah, but then people start, like... I feel
then
like
they hate you for turning the comments off. Like,
it just, you get exposed to all this type of drama, and then people just all of a sudden want to know. I don't know. I feel like it's like a level of like fame that I'm really scared
but
of.
Didn't you like, is that because you've seen it happen with your client or is that because...
No. It's because, you know, what I see, because I just
Didn't you learn some tips from Kim about how to deal?
No. I'm not like that type, you know. I'm just kind of like, she does her thing and I do my thing.
Okay.
And, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I see it happening on YouTube because I watch YouTube now. I'm a recent lover of YouTube.
Who do you watch? Do you have some?
Shane Dawson's my favorite.
Yeah.
I started watching him because I love documentaries. A lot of people. I watch James Charles. I think he's really entertaining. I don't watch that many tutorials, so they're a little boring to me. But
okay, so we were going to ask you for some makeup tips, but it feels too reductive right now. So I'm going to, because like
no,
you said.
No, I know.
We still
need
gonna
a couple
ask.
Of freebies.
Yeah.
But it does seem like you approach every face differently.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just be selfish then. Instead of asking for a generalized tip, I need help with one thing, and I'll ask that, and we'll see.
Okay.
If so my upper lip line is disappearing as I get old, up in years, like the demarcation. Like, the, you know, between the reddish part and
the
vermilion edge is what it's called, right?
Yeah, that's what I think, vermilion edge.
And so I've been like using lip liner more, but I just feel like it's not doing it because it wears off or whatever. How do you get your lip line back? Like the edge of your lip without getting
like the
filler?
Outer corners, you mean?
Yeah, like
the whole thing.
Yeah,
the whole thing?
Like along here.
I mean, you got to just slightly...
You have a mustache that like sort of is sort of doing that for you. Maybe we should grow a mustache.
No, don't do that. I would just say, I mean, honestly, there's no like major magic trick to it. You know, you just gotta overline it a little bit, you know, and if it wears off, you have to reapply it, you know.
Do you do one continuous line or are you a feathery stroke kind of pencil?
I actually, on your lips, on your particular lips, I would not fill so much on the outer corners. I would kind of start like a little bit more inwards and focus more on this whole center area,
the Cupid Bowie part,
blending it down to the, you know, otherwise I think if you go all the way down, your lips are going to look just too wide for your face. So
yeah,
I would go.
It gets pointy here at the edges.
Yes.
Like and if then, I had a rounded lip.
Not only that, but you're also going to make your lips appear sad, then it's going to bring your face down.
Oh,
so for your particular face, I would focus on here and here and then kind of almost like lifting this area. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I have another question. It's more general.
Yeah.
What's a good way to make like the skin just like not look tired? If one of your clients just looks kind of
sallow,
tired and
got off
just
a plane.
Like, yeah, or just, yeah, like they're having a stressful day and they just pop in your
asking
chair.
Asking for
just,
a friend.
They just pop into your chair for like a few minutes. What are just the couple of things that you do?
So that's an interesting question. So it's tricky because what I do for my clients at work, like for red carpets and shoots, is so different than what I would tell someone to do at home for a viewer okay. who's watching this, okay? Because what I do at work, it's way too much. No one's got time to do any of it.
Okay.
Like, I would never do it on myself. Like, never. Honestly, like,
What do you do for yourself then? Yeah.
Okay, after I turned 34, 35 maybe, I really started seeing or experiencing and feeling kind of like what most women feel like, where it's like they feel like they can't leave without having a little zhuzh, a little something. Like, mm-hmm. I feel that now, like, because I just feel like tired. I feel like I'm getting older, like I'm pale. You know, my veins are coming through.
Such a nightmare. Isn't it horrible?
Dude, it's fucking horrible. Like, the brow thing. Like, my brows, I was always so fine with my brows. Like, I feel like I look crazy now without something filled in my eyebrows a little bit.
They fade sort of, right?
Because they thin out. Like, my outer corners are non-existent. And I'm like, what is happening to my life?
I didn't do anything different. They just stopped growing there or something.
Yes. And so, like, what I do, you guys would laugh if you actually saw, like, what I do. I literally just use like the cheapest things on myself. Like everything that is going to go in the garbage, I'll just take and use it on myself because I'm too lazy. Like you guys would laugh. But I like a little tinted moisturizer that's like a little deeper than my skin.
Okay.
That makes me feel really, it kind of brings back life and it brings back like a natural glow. You know, it has mm-hmm. like a nice moisture to it. And then concealer, of course, like especially around the nose area, under the eyes, and brow for me. But I would say for girls, what I think it makes a huge difference is curling of the lashes, which I know most people don't do. Like, you know, my sisters and just...
Oh, well, I got a lash perm, so...
Oh, you do?
Not anymore. It was great while I had it, but it grows out kind of wonky.
You know, but like concealer and...
What's your cheapy brow pencil that you're using?
I don't use cheap brow pencils. I use Anastasia brow pencils.
Oh, but see? It only extends so far.
No, it's more like the powder I use. If I put tinted moisturizer on, you know, I'll just throw a little powder on. But the one in my medicine cabinet is it's a L'Oreal powder that I bought probably 7 years ago in the drugstore. You know, like, and I still use it. Meanwhile, 4 feet away, I have literally 1,000 like luxury powders. It's weird. I don't know why I do that.
You were saying something about the eyelid. Were you pointing to the eyelid, or that's all you do is just curl the lashes?
Well, like the eyelid gets like mine. They get veiny and they get like, you know. Mm-hmm. So if you're gonna put tinted moisturizer on or concealer, put mm-hmm. some on your eyelids too.
What's something that women do all the time that's like you just shake your head and it's like, oh, like no one's doing this right. Like something that you see that's done wrong all the time.
I'm not the type to like.
You don't
look
sit on the subway and look at people's makeup like us.
I do.
There's something I can't do.
I
right?
do, so but I honestly know? Find it like there's like a part of me. I love seeing like, you know, how do you say pedestrian? I guess, you know, I love seeing
real
like
women.
Real women. You know, I love seeing real women's makeup. In fact, you know, I guess what people don't know about me is that I love natural makeup, and my favorite is when a woman has no makeup on is my favorite. I just love the look of it. It's so, I don't know, it's charming to me. It's sweet. It's like, it's real, you know? And so same thing goes for when I see people that do their own makeup. I don't look at it like judging, because I don't expect you to be like fully beat and glamorous. Like number one, you would look weird on the subway or like at, you know, at Starbucks. And number two, like I don't expect you to put in all that effort and know those things. So like, you know, it's like my sisters. Like I don't look at anyone's face and judge. It's like, it's cute to me. Like it's charming. You know, yeah, it's, like almost like, I don't know, I kind of love to know like how real women do their makeup. I like that.
I can show you.
Yeah, but you can't, you don't count because you guys are like editors. You guys know.
Makeup on right now,
I'm
so.
Still, every day is an experiment. Like there are things like people think beauty editors know how to really like, you know, that they're doing some like, you know, amazing professional job. There's still things that I'm like, I don't know. Doing this right.
Yeah, remember I looked at you in the sun today and she had literal.
No, thanks, Jen.
Okay, never mind. We'll see.
Yeah.
No, I think it's cute. Like, I'm looking at your eyeliner right now and I'm like, you know, like it goes down on the corner, you know, and so I'm
it's
like,
not
that's
not supposed to.
Like, that's, I know, but like, that's like so cute.
We had
to
a
me.
Long day.
That's
okay,
cute
Mom.
To me.
Thank
like,
you.
I like that.
It was going like straight across or a little bit like more lifted this morning, but like that was at 7:30 when
happens.
I put it on. So I don't have a,
this
team.
Less,
I don't have a Mario.
This is less intimidating though. See, having it so perfect is like intimidating for a real woman.
Okay.
That's a very good point.
That's
you
sweet.
You mentioned the Anastasia brow pencil as a favorite. What are some other favorites you've been loving lately? There are so many products now. Help us cut through
just any
clutter.
Product in general, you mean?
Yeah, sure.
So I've been loving. I started using La Mer foundation recently, the liquid foundation.
Oh, you like it?
Kind of obsessed. Yeah, I used cream foundations for many, many years, and I just started incorporating. I mean, not just, but probably like 4 years ago, I started really bringing in a lot of and trying lots of different liquid foundations, which I love. And, you know, as the trends change, like I don't use a lot of powder anymore. And, you know, I just like the skin to be really glowy now. And so the La Mer foundation is one of my favorites right now. I love Troy Surratt's new concealers that he
what
just came out
concealers?
With. Concealers? Surratt Beauty. Yeah,
no, I know. We know.
Yeah,
Brent, he's
yeah.
Been
I don't think I've tried these.
Too, but I didn't see
he
the
just
concealers.
Came out with them. Or actually, I don't even know if they're available yet.
Maybe they just are for special okay. people like you.
No, no. He sent PR out. But I like them. I use them actually on myself because I'm too stingy to put them in my kit. no, but I like
stuff is good quality. Yeah.
Yeah, I love his makeup. And what else is really good as of late? I mean, my classics like that I love, like the Laura Mercier Tinted Moisturizer.
That stuff is so good.
Or the Laura Mercier like Flawless Fusion Concealer, which I love because it, like honestly, it doesn't. There's not many concealers out there that don't get into the lines. So this one like is really good if you have like a little bit of fine lines.
What about mascara wise? This podcast is called Fat Mascara, so I have to ask.
Oh, I forgot about that. My all time favorite is for 19 years L'Oreal Voluminous, and
that's one I heard.
I try all the time because I don't want to get stuck in like, you know, rut. I try all the time to bring in new mascaras and I try them and literally like I'm just like my assistant's like she knows already that I'm not going to keep it in the kit. So she just
I like out. That you keep trying though. You got to keep your skills fresh.
Always.
Try the new stuff.
You know what? The Milk one I tried recently and I know I don't hate it.
The Kush one?
The Kush one.
Oh, okay.
I used it yesterday on a model on set. Yeah.
Do you use your hands a lot or brushes and sponges more? Because like the skin that you do is always so like flawless and just gorgeous. So I'm just curious like how you get that finish
it
besides
depends
being
on,
talented.
It depends on the client. Like so if I don't use my fingers if I'm doing a more heavy. Like if I have a client that likes full coverage and powder, like I don't use my fingers for that. I use like sponge and I use brushes. If I'm
Are
working
you a latex sponge or like a beauty blender guy?
Oh, beauty blender, like okay. hands down beauty blender. Okay. So that's like I use like 8 of them for each application. If I'm doing like editorial, like fashion stuff or beauty shoots, I definitely will use my fingers more mm-hmm. on models. Mm-hmm. Also, because I don't mind that sort of like personal space with the model. Like I don't, mm-hmm. you know, I don't care to like touch them or like, you know.
Yeah.
With celebrity, there's like a level of, I don't know if you call it respect or something. I just don't like to get too into their personal mm-hmm. space, meaning to touch them. Or so I always kind of try to have a little barrier between, you know what I mean? So I use more brushes. Yeah, I've always been like that. Even with Kim, like I, no matter how close I am with them, or how no, there's always like a level of respect for one of my clients that I don't like to cross ever. And so I feel like I use more brushes, you know, brushes and sponges definitely for celebrity. For models, I'm more like, you know, get in with my fingers.
Right, because yeah. that's their job. Yeah. And what about for you? Like, what about you in terms of, you came in here smelling amazing.
You were a fragrance consultant yeah. back in the day.
So you're an expert. So tell yeah. us what's
You're basically
going
an expert.
On.
You're basically a perfumer.
Wait, what's the question?
For what fragrances do you wear?
Oh my God, you guys, I have so many fragrances. I collect fragrances.
As do we.
My favorites are Tom Ford, hands down, you know?
Like everything?
Everything. I just love every product that man puts out. Every product. Even the ones I don't love the smell of. Like like the Fucking Fabulous one. I don't love the smell of it.
Me neither, but the name's so good.
Yeah, and they sent me like PR the other day. I finally got on the Tom Ford PR list after all these freaking
arrived,
years. Like, and I didn't even ask. They emailed me to ask me. But they sent me like a bunch of the new, you know, fragrances and they sent me Fucking Fabulous, which I already had. But like I've been, you know, just kind of spraying it every day just because I just love the fragrances. But I have, my favorite would be probably Ombre Leather. Mm-hmm. I have like this really massive bottle that my sister bought me 1 year. And it's like you take it out, it's like an oil. I just love that one.
Nice.
Yeah. So what didn't we ask you that we should have asked you as this winds down?
Shucks, I wish I would have thought of this before
you
came.
I'm so hard putting you on the spot.
You know what? Just from what I see and from what I read, the industry is so, it's changing every day and it's going so fast every day. I think that a lot of people, and including a lot of my students who come to my master classes, I see that people are feeling hopeless because it's weird. There's so many more opportunities because of Instagram and everyone, you know, there's all these brands that are coming out, all these products. So there's more opportunities, but at the same time, there's more competition. People yeah. feel that they're working hard and they feel that they're not being seen. I mean, I know it sounds cliche, but like, just do not give up. Like when I tell you, do not give up and do not say no to things. Like, if you're available for something or if you can make it happen, absolutely 100% make that happen. Some of the most critical parts of my career in my life were things that I didn't want to do that I almost said no to. Thank God I didn't, because those were like some of the most pivotal parts of my career. And I have a lot of friends who did say no a lot and,
yeah.
you know, are just, you know, they talk to me about it now. And it's like, I wish I did that job. I wish I said yes to it when you did, you know. Don't say no. Sacrifice. You have to sacrifice. You can't expect to live like this amazing, you know, glamorous life every day and just kind of go and come as you please and then want success. There are some people that are going to get overnight success, 100%.
Yeah.
It's possible now with social media, and God bless those that can do it, because I wish I could have done. I mean, I wish.
It's funny, and some people still think, oh, you did. But now I think they were realizing, no, yeah. you put in 15 hard years of work before the success came.
Yeah, like real struggles. You know what I mean? Like real, real struggles.
So don't say no. Always
don't
show
say no.
up. Yeah.
Always show up, obviously. You know, be respectful. You want to, you know, my mom always said she wasn't, you know, an educated woman because she wasn't allowed to go to school, you know, when she grew up. But, you know, her thing was just always, just be a good person no matter what you do. Be a good person, Mario. Every day she would just say that. Or if I'd come home and complain about something, she'd say, no matter what, you make the right decision. What's the best thing to do from a good heart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you just do that, I think that eventually, because when I was like a teenager and a young kid, I'd be like, oh, like if I just keep being a good person, like what if no one else is going to be a good person, you know? It's like you think like a kid.
It's karma.
Karma. Yeah. It's a thing. I think it's a real thing. And so just try to be a good person. And again, don't give up. Don't be sloppy. Don't be messy. Pay attention to your social media. It's so freaking important. And, you know, just keep going.
Keep going. Thanks. That's good advice. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, now I remember that part of the interview, Jess. But what a lovely guy. Also, I should have warned everybody that the sound was different because we recorded that interview before we were with our current setup and our current amazing sound engineer, Red.
Yes,
so raise
yes.
a wand to him for like stitching that together for us. And now let's just do a little raise a wand. We have like two left to round out the year. Should I go first?
Yes, yes, please.
Okay, can I tell you, I struggle with bathroom fragrance.
I understand.
Okay, like there's lots of ways you could go about this. My bathroom does not have a window.
Same. It might as well not. Go on.
Right, but like you can't just crack a window for like, not just, you know, bad smells for whatever, but like just ventilation. So I can't really burn a candle in there because like it'll smoke up the sides of the wall because there's no airflow to suck it out. There's no exhaust. I've tried the potpourri. Let's be honest. You have a pet? Potpourri is a shit show. No pun intended. And then it's just like you have little doodads sitting out in a bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. I do not like it like an air diffuser, like a wick. It's just struggles real. But I think I found something that I'm very surprised by.
We are all listening with ears wide open.
It's a tiny reed diffuser. Now, I have had a thing against reed diffusers for so long because they just feel so stuffy and mumsy to me, like a big old vase of old oxidized liquid with sticks sticking out of it. What is chic about that? Until
you
I went
met.
On that new Italian site, Mozza Fiato,
oh, yes,
whatever,
yes, yes.
and I was like doing some shopping. I got the Carthusia. Meanwhile, this is like the OG classic reed diffuser, Carthusia's Casa Mediterraneo reed diffuser. I don't know why I waited so long to get on board this because it is not a big old vase of yellow liquid. It's tiny. It's maybe like, it's the size of a perfume bottle. It's 3.4 ounces. And the sticks are maybe 5 inches long.
Oh, shorty.
So it's a little nugget of a thing and it hides behind a plant that I have next to my toilet. And it lasts, and the scent is not that weird oceanic bathroom smells that we've talked about.
Oof.
I don't know why everybody who does bathroom sprays thinks that you want to smell like salty air and ozone and like those blue
and
kind
it
of
never
fragrances.
Smells like it. It just smells like that.
No, and then you smell that and you think of poop for the rest of your life.
Yes.
It's like associated. No, this is a lemony fresh Sicilian lemon, but not overwhelming. Doesn't smell like you're dusting like Pledge lemon. Just fresh, bright, and I've only reversed the sticks once. That's the tip, by the way.
the way, guys. Like when it starts to fade the scent, you just reverse the little reeds. So then fresh oil gets drawn up and out. And I've had it 4 weeks so far. I only had to do that once and there's still plenty of liquid left. And it is just such a lovely scent and such an easy way to fragrance your bathroom. And I don't know why I waited so long.
How much is it?
$48, but I swear I've spent that on a candle. Easy, that yes, doesn't last yes. as long.
I love that. And I think that many people are not aware of us this because this is this hidden gem at Mozo Fiato.
Yeah, and Carthusia is like has a huge history. You should read into it. It's a fabulous brand from Italy. But anyway, what do you
I love that.
So
it's a bit of Italy. Mine is not as romantic. Remember how we...
it's a toilet scent. What are you talking about?
Mine, I cannot preach about this experience like loudly enough. So about a year and a half ago, maybe almost 2 years ago, I went to Stretched, the studio in Flatiron, Flatiron District in Manhattan. Stretched is a studio all about, it's in the name, stretching. That may sound kind of like, I can stretch myself. There's a studio, like a fancy boutique, you know, fitness studio for stretching. Come on. No, this is a revelation. And if you go back a few episodes, I don't know if you listen to this show in order or you miss some or you listen, I don't know how you listen, but I talked about how I went to the back doctor who like diagnosed my problem in 3 seconds. And he was like, you're getting older. And you have a problem that's really just from sitting too much. Like everyone who's coming into my office, it's due to COVID. You're too sedentary. And the problem will be solved by like really good stretching. And he's prescribing.
Yeah, hamstrings are tight. Yeah,
exactly. Hamstrings, some core, some calf stuff. Sure. So I had, full disclosure, I had a gift card to Stretched. I went to Stretched. Holy cow. This was so much more effective than the one that time that I went 2 years ago where like, you know, I was young and spry. This was, I was like screaming, like in like both pain
ecstasy?
And ecstasy, pain and ecstasy.
Did you have that cute guy stretcher again?
Not the same one, but this guy, okay. Patrick, if you can request Patrick, I recommend it. He was fantastic. I said, Patrick, do people like kind of moan and like scream? And he's like, oh yeah. Because it's so incredible. Within 5 minutes, all he did was like move my feet in a direction that seems normal. No, he goes, your feet never move like this because of how you walk. I asked him a lot of questions. You can be totally quiet, but I was so curious about the movements he was doing. And he explained like, this feels good or this, you know, this feels interesting because... You know, it was very educational. It's like, because you don't move your body in this way because you're always sitting in this way. To me, it was so educational that I was so fascinated. And then at the end, I thought he was going to like be like, now you remember what we did, right? Do this at home or like draw some weird sketches for me to stretch. No, they send you links to your email of stretches mm-hmm. you can do. So you don't have to remember anything. The service was great. Now you may be thinking, that's great, Jess. I don't live in Manhattan. Good for you. No, you can do virtual stretching sessions online for $40. So,
and Stretched is spelled without the second
yes,
E,
thank
right?
you very much. Yes, so Stretched. So stretched.com. Mm-hmm. We'll put a link on the blog. It was, you guys know I'm a massage freak. Like I love massage more than anything. Yesterday, that would, far and away, I would take that over massage any day. I left on air.
That's amazing. And it's like, it's not just an indulgence because you're learning. So if you can't justify the expense, think of it as like, okay, I'm going to go once and learn
yes.
like a lesson and then I can do it myself.
Yeah. Even. He gave me some great stretches for at home. Obviously some
Ooh,
assisted stretches
I
you can't do.
That.
It was
yeah.
phenomenal. This is not like some frou-frou, like what will they think of next? You know, like fancy pants studios.
Like yoga lotties in the yeah. sky thing.
I don't know. No, this is like, a genius business, genius service, Stretched. I really hope like you got to stay strong through this pandemic. Please come on because we need this to survive. This is great. It's great.
Love it. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Jess. That's a good one. We'll see you guys on Thursday with another interview replay.
We
hope you enjoyed the show.
It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.